the Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, if you're getting robbed on both ends, and you're being
Muslims to march on Israel, to essentially declare war on Israel and exterminate it, all on May 15th. Now, May 14th, or 15th, however you want to look at it, was the day that Israel became a nation, 1948. This is all in response to that. The entire world now coming against Israel. Isn't it interesting that at this very time, this article should come out from Front Page Magazine called Israel's Blessing? No, it's not the things that we've been talking about is Israel's blessing. Despite the world of troubles facing Israel, a miraculous resource discovery has come to the land just in the last year. President Obama has dissed Israel. The UN is no friend, and the nations around Israel are hostile. It took Moses 40 years to lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the only land in the Middle East without oil. Long a source of wry humor, but Israel at last has been granted an almost miraculous blessing. First, in 2009, Israel announced the discovery of a major natural gas field off its coast in the Tamar region. Then, at the end of last December, an immense natural gas discovery was confirmed in the eastern Mediterranean within Israel's territorial waters. It has the potential for making Israel a major energy exporter over the next decade, while providing the country with possibly 200 years of natural gas, negating Israel's plans to buy natural gas from Russia. Noble Energy, a Houston-based company, made the discovery. It said drilling tests in its Leviathan field confirmed it was the world's largest offshore gas find in the past decade and easily the largest exploration discovery in their company's history. The natural gas find could be followed by oil beneath the gas. And in a religious framework, Genesis 49:25 says, "The Almighty will bless you with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lies beneath." Of course, there's Noble Energy, Zion Oil and Gas. I received a letter from John Brown, the president and founder of Zion Oil and Gas, today, saying, pray with all the things that are going on in Israel, and yet they're drilling, and this week they have reached the deepest on-land well ever drilled in Israel, Zion Oil and Gas. You might pray for them, because, friends, I believe that God wants to bless Israel even as they're being cursed by the nations of the earth. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do that. A league is coming. A counterfeit peace is coming to masquerade itself as peace on earth by a counterfeit Christ, an imposter who will pretend to be a prince of peace. According to the book of Daniel, in the latter time, he will stand up even against the Prince of Princes, Christ himself. He'll prosper, magnify himself in his heart, and through the pursuit of peace, destroy many. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. Again, would you seriously consider becoming a partner with us, becoming more and more difficult, friends? More and more difficult. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Keep the faith, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and let's get right with God. Prepare the way of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Ron Brown. Hi, Ron. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan.
That was an amazing day today.
It sure was. Well, amazing week, really.
Why don't you just tell our listeners what happened today and why this is so amazing? You've been out in the gold and silver business for a long time. I've never seen anything quite like today, like this last week.
Well, you know what I've been telling people the last month or so is throw out your charts of the last 8 years in the gold and silver market, because the market has changed and we're going into the blow-off stage. So I tell people, if you want to be a technician and follow the charts, go back and pick up a chart of 1979. And that's when silver went from $5 an ounce, a little over $5, in January of 79. And by early January of 82, silver hit $52 an ounce. That was an increase of what, over 1,000%. And that's where we are now. We're in the blow-off stage where, you know, gold and silver markets have been building momentum and fighting for the last 8 or 10 years. Now, all of a sudden, as I try to describe it, the whole world now knows that the whole world is bankrupt. Everywhere you look, the economies, the financial markets are up in flames, whether it's the Middle East or Europe or U.S. or Japan, or even China has serious problems. So as the whole world wakes up to the fact that the debt system, the fiat money system, has run its course, and now the system can't sustain that debt and keep it going. The politicians only know one game, and that's just to start them running the printed press. So the flight out of all paper money is just starting to accelerate, and when that happens, there's not nearly enough gold and silver to go around. So that's what we're seeing, is just a panic out of all paper assets into tangibles, anything that's real, to try to protect yourself from the devaluation of the currency.
Well, because I saw the silver was up about $1.29 an ounce. Now, I remember when the original price of silver was $1.29, and that was what it was for many years. It went up $1.29 in one day. What did gold do today?
Gold was up. Gold's going much slower than silver, as we know. Gold was up $17, $1,476. So even gold has made a clean breakout of that resistance level of $1,440 that kind of has held for, I don't know, months. And every time it'd get there, they would try to beat it back down. But this week was a clean breakout, and there's no stopping it right now.
And, of course, oil was up $2.40 a barrel, something like that. And, of course, those of you who listen to our programs regularly will remember that it was in mid-October of last year when Lindsay Williams had called me and told me that, Sydney, that first of all, that the oil was going to go to $150 to $200 a barrel. Sydney, by the end of 2012, the dollar would be dead. And basically, it was, I think, meaning that the dollar was going to be no longer the reserve currency of the world. But then he was talking about this coming conflict in the Middle East. Now, as he said, there'd be a conflict. And I said, oh, that's going to be a war with Syria then. And he said, no. That's what I specifically asked him to ask. And he says, not going to be a war with Syria. And that'll come later. A war with Iran. But that'll come later. But right now, in 4 to 6 months, there'll be a conflict in the Middle East. All of these things are coming to pass. Well, of course, basically, of course, the real problem we're having today, I think, is, of course, the increase of inflation. In Europe, why they've raised the
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Now, what you must understand is we have something like 79 million baby boomers are going to be retiring in the next 19 years. There is no way that we can provide Social Security and Medicare for them. Are we going to admit that the whole thing is a Ponzi scheme and the people who are responsible for the Ponzi scheme should be held responsible? Why, that's our congressmen, that's our senators, that's our presidents and our ex-presidents. No, ladies and gentlemen, you have two choices. You could come clean, you could tell them, yes, we have a problem, we're going to have to just redo the whole system. Maybe we can come up with a system of vouchers for people on Medicare so that they'll get something out of the money they put in, and yes, we're going to have to certainly raise the age of retirement for Social Security and take the people on disability off of it. But politicians traditionally never do what's right. After all, they don't get Social Security. They have a different pension fund where they're going to get their money, whatever happens to us common people. They have their own health care system, not the Medicare system that they're going to inflict on the people with rationing. So what they're going to do is simply inflate away the problem. And of course, as far as Social Security is concerned, look, you could go ahead and give their people the $1,200 to $1,500 to $1,800 they're getting. It just won't be worth much of anything. Inflation is a terrible, terrible thing. But they're going ahead with it. Ben Bernanke has said publicly, oh, well, there's no inflation. Oh, yes, the price of fuel, I guess gasoline's going up a little. Price of food is going up a little, but it'll stabilize here in a few months, and everything's going to be all right, come back down again. And he is lying, and he knows he is lying. He's a very smart man. But you see, basically, what you do is you solve the problem by simply destroying the value of the currency. And you can give the people that amount of money, they just won't buy much of anything. Inflation is what politicians always do to placate the people, and then they say, oh, shucks, well, that was Mr. Bernanke's fault, but he's retired now, and he's responsible, but we're not responsible for it. And, of course, what you're going to see is the impoverishment of the American people. You are going to see the price of oil continue going up, and we're going to have gasoline at $6 to $8 a gallon. You're going to see the price of food continue going up, the price of electricity going up, the price of everything that we need in our society going up, except, of course, housing. The price of housing will continue dropping. It may very well be that they'll be able to hold the price on cars to keep them from going up. Although I think we're going to have real problems as far as the cars are concerned, because basically the sales are going to fall off. Why? Because, of course, the price of gasoline is going up, and people are not going to be buying the cars and the trucks or the things that they have. This is what happened back in 2008 when the price of oil was going up, and I think we could expect the same 15 to 20% reduction in the purchase of cars. And that's going to have a profound impact on our economy, because it's one of the few things that we're really producing here. Remember, they've intentionally sent over 8.5 million American jobs overseas. They've been outsourcing and offshoring our production intentionally for a long period of time. And now, of course, those jobs are not coming back. Over 40 to 42,000 businesses have closed. This is an entirely different ballgame than we had in 1980, when, of course, we had an inflationary spiral, because then we still had a vibrant industrial base. They're intentionally destroying our industrial base. They're building up, of course, China and India and Brazil and Russia. Those are the so-called BRIC nations. They want to raise their living standards. They want to lower our living standard. That's why they're tearing out our dams, why they're blocking the use of nuclear energy or not going to thorium, which would be a safe means of producing nuclear-type energy and extremely, extremely safe. They're certainly doing everything they can to block the building plants that will produce electricity through the burning of coal or oil or natural gas. And it'll take years, of course, to develop the solar and wind power, and when they do, it'll be phenomenally expensive, which means, of course, that all of our energy-dependent industries are going to, once again, move offshore, places in China or other countries where electricity will be very cheap. It'll be very expensive here. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Well, I think you saw today simply the fact that people are beginning to panic. I mean, the price of oil up dramatically, the price of gold up dramatically, the price of silver. I haven't ever seen a move like that. The price of silver has gone up in the last couple of weeks phenomenally. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Certainly over in Europe, though, they've raised the interest rate. The European Central Bank has raised the rate. They don't want, of course, to collapse their monetary system. But apparently the Federal Reserve Board has decided that the best way out of the current problem is simply to let inflation run its course. Blame it on, we'll blame it on the Republicans. We'll blame it on the Democrats. We'll blame it on those people who were in office before. The living standards will go down. You'll get your Social Security check. It just won't buy much of anything. You'll get your pension check. It just won't buy much of anything. You'll get your Medicare voucher, but it just won't buy much of anything. Go right ahead, Ron. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the key to understanding the nature of the crisis today, you know, if you go back to the inflation of the 60s and the 70s and the early 80s, up to that point, the U.S. was still the largest creditor nation in the world. We were still solidly the world's reserve currency. So when we went through all that inflationary crisis, they could nip it in the bud because we were still the world's reserve currency. What the economists today, the Keynesian economists, don't understand is that in the last 20, 30 years, we have built up such a mountain of debt, thinking we could just print it, and the foreigners would finance it forever and ever and ever. And they were finally up to their gills in our paper. They see us running the printing press. They see us intentionally devaluing the currency. But what you're seeing now is all of a sudden the rest of the world, who's financed our folly since World War II, are saying, America, not no, but hell no. Not only are we incapable of loaning you the money you now require to keep your Ponzi scheme going, the truth is we now know you're bankrupt. We know can't pay off your debts. And not only do we not want to buy your ongoing deficits, we're trying to cash in the chips on the money we've loaned you since World War II. So you're starting to see an accelerating flight out of the dollar, and when that happens, at some point very quickly, the dollar is going to collapse very, very, you're going to see the dollar just go into a nosedive, and then everything will suddenly fall apart, and you won't be able to inflate your way out of it because the rest of the world won't accept the dollars. So we're approaching critical mass where they can't keep the game going any longer. I think they run out of rabbits to keep kicking the can down the road.
And, of course, we've been living very, very well. Basically, of course, our government's been creating all sorts of money, out of paper money, and we've been simply using that to buy products from all over the world. So instead of course, having to have the ravages of inflation here, in other words, basically inflation is increasing the money supply, and so the Fed's been increasing the money supply, but, of course, we've been sending it to other countries, basically, with our massive trade deficit. So the other countries that got stuck with our dollars, but they were happy with that system. I mean, they were collecting all these dollars, which supposedly have some value, and of course, then in return for that, they were able to produce their goods and ship them to the United States. So we've been able to buy things incredibly cheaply for a long period of time, whether it would be clothing, whether it be tools, whether it be so many of the appliances we have in America today are made in other countries. A lot of them are certainly a lot of our refrigerators, a lot of our washing machines, things like that, they're all made down in Mexico. And so we've been living very, very well. But the problem that you get into is what happens when the other countries suddenly decide, we don't want your dollars anymore. Now, they've been able to maintain the value of the dollar by simply, you could not buy gold, probably you could not buy oil unless it was delineated in dollars. And so that's why a lot of companies kept a lot of dollars on hand. A lot of the companies have 60 or 70% of their reserve currency in dollars. But what happens if they decide, well, maybe they want the yuan, the Chinese yuan, or a currency that has some gold backing, something behind it? We have nothing behind our currency. And, of course, other than a very, very powerful military. But, of course, you know, certainly we're not going to be able to afford that military indefinitely. And, of course, what happens then when the other countries start dumping their dollars? Well, of course, then they come back here. And suddenly we will have then tremendous numbers of dollars, trillions of dollars, flooding into our country from nations throughout the world. And when that happens, why, of course, you will see the ravages of inflation hitting the United States. We're not talking about sometime in the distant future. We're talking about the next couple of years. Lindsay Williams was told the dollar would be dead by the end of 2012, not meaning that it would be worthless, but it would cease to be the reserve currency. I'm sure it will lose a lot of its value. What do you think about these things? Are you concerned? What can we do? Do you have a question or comment? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But ladies and gentlemen, the America we've known is not going to exist in the future. Well, Ron, certainly, is there any way out of the mess we're in today?
You know, I sent out, you probably got a copy of it. Lindsay Williams put up that 2 or 3 hour...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued.
Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Anywhere in the world, you hear Obama saying, oh, we want to become energy dependent. We could become energy dependent. What's Obama doing? Blocking oil drilling everywhere off the Gulf. You know, when they had the problem down in the Gulf, what did he do? He cut off oil drilling off the north slope of Alaska. Why did he do that when they had the problem down in the Gulf? Because he says one thing, he wants another. He talks about wanting to get nuclear power, and then he does everything to block nuclear power. He talks about wanting a balanced budget and does everything to have an unbalanced budget. He says one thing, he does exactly the other. He talks about how he wants to preserve our privacy. Oh, we want to preserve your privacy. And then what does he do? He wants to put your medical records on the Internet. How are you going to have privacy when they put medical records on the Internet? Why doesn't somebody simply point out that he's lying about everything? Oh, we wouldn't want to say that. That wouldn't be kind, but you have to. He says he wants his energy dependent, and he blocks the development of the massive energy resources we have in this country. This country still has phenomenal wealth and phenomenal ability. We have the infrastructure to exploit these things. But they're in the process of progressively destroying our infrastructure here in the United States. They're in the process of doing everything they can to destroy our local governments. So basically, they're not going to be able to repair the potholes in the roads, and they're not going to be able to maintain even the semblance of local structure. All of our countries, all of our states, all of our municipalities are laying off large numbers of people. They tell us, oh, the job market's looking good. And they're simply lying. If you read the material put out by John Williams, and certainly that's Shadow Statistics, he will tell you, as he did tell me just about 10 days ago, that the unemployment statistics are a lie. And basically, they're lying, trying to make us think things are getting better. They're doing everything to make them worse, but they know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ron, what's going to happen to the price of gold and silver?
We're in the blow-off stage. Dr. Stan, if I didn't know better, I would be making a strong case now that silver would go to $1,500 an ounce in the next 2 years. The only reason I don't make that case is that this whole world financial system is on the verge of a meltdown, and way before you ever got to $1,500 silver, you would probably see the whole financial system melt down. We'd have a draconian monetary reform, the declaration of an emergency, and we would have a new currency. Wouldn't probably even be pricing silver in the same dollar. All that really tells me, though, is that when the system goes bankrupt, the whole purpose of the bankruptcy of this fiat money system is to write off the bad debt that can't be repaid, and that's the paper assets. So regardless of what the price of silver does in nominal terms, it's going to give you the best chance of riding the storm and getting over the abyss, because I guarantee you one thing will happen. Silver and gold will have tremendous value in whatever new monetary system is eventually created. So your gold and silver is not the predictor how high it's going to go. It's really simply a refuge. You're trying to get your wealth and your life savings out of harm's way before it gets wiped out. And unfortunately, most people are not going to wake up till all the horses are out of their barn. You can see their wealth getting destroyed in their pension plans. You can see their wealth being destroyed in the houses that they overcommitted to. Now they're behind the eight ball in it. Everything is being devalued, and their life savings is being destroyed. So how are you going to have a recovery when people are losing their jobs left and right, where every municipality, every state's behind the eight ball, their tax base is collapsing? You can't build a recovery in that type of environment. So you're right. Everything they say that everything is getting better is nothing but smoke and mirrors, because let's face it, our financial system, our whole economy is nothing more than a gigantic confidence game. So they have no choice but to lie and tell you things are better so people won't panic.
Well, certainly we saw what happened to Great Britain. They went from war to war. They expended their wealth, certainly on their military and on military ventures. And eventually, Great Britain went bankrupt and had to transfer the military leadership of the world to the United States. The same thing is happening here. In fact, if you read the article that Richard Haass wrote in Foreign Affairs, November, December of last year, he tells you how excessive military expenditures eventually bankrupts great nations. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And Well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone of the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. And Pastor Billy, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. It's always a joy to be on.
Why don't you just pick up the story and tell us what we're going to be talking about tonight?
Well, I'd like to continue on with our discussion that we had last time, and that's on the issue of UFOs. And the reason why, well, one, because I didn't get to finish what I wanted to share. And the proof that I believe that they're clearly dealing with a demonic entity and leading us to one of the greatest times of deceit and deception that, oddly enough, the Bible clearly warned us about, but yet people are often clueless about. And that's because mankind, Dr. Monteith, is being re-educated. The people, even the non-Christians, the secular researchers and the UFO movement, they readily agree that one of these, the agenda of these so-called extraterrestrials, is they are ushering us into a new paradigm, a new way of thinking, and ultimately...
They use this for specific types of solder. Nothing certainly will do the job that silver will do, and there's silver in every cell phone, silver in every laptop. It's vitally important, and with the exploding of the electronic industry, there's going to be a demand for silver, in addition, of course, to the demand as a monetary metal and as a means of storage of wealth. Well, Ron, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and get your telephone number out. Tell people how they can get in touch with you and what they'll learn if they do get in touch with you. And once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been at this for my 49th year. I have never seen anything like what we've seen in the last couple of weeks as far as the gold and silver markets. Rhonda, before we get to Ernie calling us from Spokane, tell us how people can get in touch with you and why they should get in touch with you right now.
My telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. You know, I've been doing this for 32 years now, Dr. Stan, and as you know, I've been a voice in the wilderness screaming ever since I've been on air with you that silver is not only the greatest investment opportunity of your lifetime, it quite literally, I've been saying, is the greatest investment opportunity of world history. So I think what I have to offer is anyone that calls, I can give them an understanding of why silver is going to explode and go through the roof. See, most people don't understand that over the last 60 years, industry has consumed. It's in a landfill somewhere, never to be recovered. Probably 90 to 95% of the silver that took 3 to maybe 4,000 years of history to accumulate. And just as we get down to the bottom of the glut created by all the governments of the world demonetizing silver back in the 60s, now we're down to the bottom of that glut barrel at the very moment people are waking up to the fact that fiat money is worthless. So the private markets are trying to re-monetize what the governments tried to demonetize 40, 50, 60 years ago. So it's a once-in-a-world history phenomenon that will never happen again. The biggest challenge people have now is that if they had a chance to buy silver at 5 and people told them to buy at 10 and buy it at 20 and they didn't do it, now here it is at 40, they're saying, oh my gosh, I should have listened, but it's too late now. Well, it's not too late, because if the dollar is heading towards zero, silver is heading towards infinity. So it's not a get-rich-quick thing. It's the way to preserve your wealth, and that's what I would try to get across to people.
But, I mean, there are people out there, and these are some people that basically are not flakes at all. I mean, it's some fellow named, I think, Farber. You correct me if I'm wrong, but Max Farber or Faber or something like that. He's talking about silver at $300 an ounce. That's almost 10 times the price it is today. Do you know who I'm talking about, Ron?
Yeah, Mark Farber. He lives over in Hong Kong or somewhere up there, but he's been one of the mainstays of the hard money, honest money thing for, gosh, ever since I've been in the business, over 30 years.
Right. And basically, he's not simply in the right-wing extremist. He's talking about a very real reality. We're talking about simply the sky's the limit here, and I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just saying you've got to get out of dollars. And if you are simply have a pension fund, if you can get your money out and get into something tangible or certainly basically an annuity, or you're in bonds, you certainly don't want to be in bonds now because chances are the value of those, the dollars in the bonds and the dollars in the stocks and the dollars in the other thing, we're going to go down. The stock market is manipulated, ladies and gentlemen. There's a group known as the Working Group on Financial Markets, also known as the Plunge Protection Team. The Working Group on Financial Markets, go up on the internet, read about it. It's a government agency. Their job is manipulate the stock market, manipulate your reality, keep the common people happy. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295, and let's go to Ernie, who's calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Ernie. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine.
Great. Question for your guest. And I know no one likes to ask this question or even try to answer it because it's we're trying to do a lot of guessing, but I listened tonight. He has a lot of knowledge. Inflation, we know it's starting to go up, and it's going to go up quite dramatically in the near future. But does he see, we have 2 years left, 3 years left of our dollar? Do you have any idea of that nature?
Yeah, I think it's going to end very easily over the next 1, 2, maybe 3 years at the most. See, most people really don't understand what inflation is. We're so conditioned by the news media and the Keynesian economist out there that inflation is higher prices. So the pundits have been able to say for the last 2 or 3 years that we've got deflation because real estate prices are going down and they get oil prices to go down for a while or whatever. And so they missed the whole point. Inflation is the increase in the money supply and credit. What we have really seen since 1982 is unbelievable massive inflation. It just hasn't always showed up in higher prices, especially when you look at it from the perspective of the U.S. citizen, because what we had for 20, 30 years starting in the 80s is the whole world scrambling to lower their currencies versus the dollar so they could compete for our almighty consumer dollar. So as the foreigners stepped up to the plate to buy our debt and lower their currencies, the dollar looked strong. Our prices were going down because we were buying foreign goods at cheaper prices, so everyone thought everything was wonderful, but it was a delusion because we've been inflating the money supply and running deficits, well, ever since what Reagan started out running $300 billion deficits, and it's just gotten worse for every president since. So we've had massive, massive inflation for the last 25 years, but the average citizen never saw it. And now
when the dollar lost a lot of value in 07 and 08 and the gas prices went up, everybody just blamed it on the oil companies because we're paying $4.50 a gallon. And I just tried to tell my friends it has nothing to do with it. The dollar is losing its value and went from about 90 basis points all the way down to 68. And I believe if it wasn't for the China and Russia buying our debt, basically they got out of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac because they lost their shirt, we would have been in the Depression back then. I don't know if I'm correct or not, but that's what it looked like to me.
Well, I think you're pretty much right. And, you know, the bottom line is, and this is what I've tried to preach to everyone when I first introduced to them, is that if the government and the economists can convince people that inflation is higher prices, then they can blame inflation on the labor unions. They can blame it on, the oil tycoons or whatever in the Middle East. In other words, if you understand that inflation is the increase in the money supply, then who's the only people who can do that? It's the bankers. So they have so misguided the American people that most of them are just like a deer in the headlights. They can't see what's happening to them because they're so miseducated on what monetary theory is all about.
And they want to do that because when it does crash, they don't want to get blamed for it.
That's right.
The bankers don't want to get blamed.
That's right.
The bankers don't want to get blamed for it, and neither does the federal government.
That's right. You can always blame the other guy.
That's exactly right. And I thank you for your work, and I appreciate what you're saying. And hopefully more people will get the truth. All day long we can listen to talk radio, and we're not getting the truth that we hear on this radio station with Dr. Stan and maybe a couple others. Literally, the truth is what we need. And our Lord said the truth will set you free, and he said that more than that was basically to save your soul, but basically we have to save our civilization where we're living in today, because we are being led down a road that is going to be very dark and very, very, very hard for most people. So thank you, gentlemen, very much, and God bless you both.
Thanks very much, Johnny, and you're absolutely right. You know, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces, and until people understand that, why, nothing really makes sense. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I think in some ways, you know, God is going to bring his judgment on this country by taking away our wealth, by taking away our comfortable lives, by lowering our living standards, by bringing austerity. And this is really what it's all about. That you can have certainly inflation, austerity, these things can go together, and the politicians are not going to do what they should do. None of them have the courage to do it. Do you realize that there's only one senator who's really talking about dramatically cutting back spending? That's Rand Paul, a freshman senator, Ron Paul's son. He's the only one who's really coming up with a program. All the rest of them are willing to go along with a program that 20 years from now will actually cut back a little bit on our federal deficit. 20 years from now, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have 20 years. We have to move, and we have to move immediately, and they're not going to do it. None of the politicians, maybe a half a dozen, a small handful in the House of Representatives will do it. The people who want to are being told, oh, you don't want to be an extremist, you know. You want to get reelected. You want to have help from the Republican Party. We're not going to address the issue. But, ladies and gentlemen, we address the issue as a nation. We let this thing collapse, and we build again on a sound financial basis, or this nation, and the prosperity we know will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. Well, let's go to Adam, who's calling us from Seattle. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Adam, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I'm actually the brother of Ernie. You have a small crowd here.
All right, fine. Well, it sounds like you got a pretty smart family. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I have to double that comment. That was what you're both talking about, is that this country is really, no, I shouldn't say this country, but you say the representatives of our country are really trying to destroy it. It's obvious. And, you know, you look back in the 80s and everything, when our jobs were all being sold out, that was just like you said. It was a matter of making face or fooling the people, because they knew that the dollar was, you know, gradually becoming inflated and becoming worse and worse. So they had to, push those jobs off fees in order to purchase your toys and appliances, everything at cheaper prices to make it look like nothing is wrong, you know, and more that's been happening, and everyone here in the States, it's true, they're all complacent, they're all like, no, everything's fine, everything will go back to normal. No, things are not going to go back to normal when you've sold out your country like that, all your work, so it's, what I'm amazed at is that the people are thinking that, Well, things will go back to normal, and that there's not something really seriously wrong. Gold and silver are a definite sign that there is something seriously wrong in the whole financial system.
You're absolutely right. Any comments on that at all, Ron?
Well, yeah, I agree with what he's saying. And of course, if you go back to the 60s and the 70s, when, you know, gold, beginning of our country, was $20 an ounce for 120-something years. Then we had the crisis in 29, and they devalued gold to $35 an ounce. And then after World War II, with the Bretton Woods Agreement, they kept it at $35 an ounce. And then that fell apart, and gold ran to 870. But see, gold ran to 870, and then they dropped it back to $200, and they dropped the silver from $50 back to $5. So it's logical for people to say, well, that's what happened then. It was just a little bubble, and then it popped, and we went back to normal. So people are hoping for that again. What they don't realize is that this time around, our nation is totally, totally bankrupt. The rest of the world is accelerating
exactly.
out of dollars, and the dollar is being rejected as the world's reserve currency, and that's what allowed us to get through a lot of those skirmishes in the past.
Exactly, and it's the whole scary thing is the it's the frog in the boiling water. Everyone, they do not see this temperature rising and rising and rising. It's just so gradual. They're all going to be cooked.
Well, all we can do, Adam, is all we can do is sound the alarm. That's what we're doing.
Exactly.
God bless, and just try to get the people up there in Washington to understand what's going on, to make the preparations we can to prepare, because we're going to see a growing sense of crime and violence and this country. We're moving to a period of chaos and crisis. God bless you. Thanks so much. And
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank
and let's go to George calling us from Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, George. It's getting pretty late back there in Cincinnati.
Yes, it is, Dr. Stan. We had a beautiful weather today in Cincinnati, which is a very issue. Anyway, my question would be this. I've been collecting some old coin and silver coins, mainly the Morgan silver dollars and the Walking Liberty dollars on the page. Now, the voter on the radio is saying that the silver is going to increase its price. What about the historical value of coins? Will it also add, or is just the silver that it contains?
Are you talking about the numismatic value for these coins, or just the value?
Yes.
The numismatic value?
What is it that goes to increase?
Yeah, well, I think there's two things in play here. Back in 86, it used to be the silver dollars were the cat's meow. Everyone loved silver dollars, and they traded consistently for at least 100, 140% over their silver content value. In 86, the Mint came out with the Silver Eagle. And that is just a knockout, gorgeous coin. Everyone fell in love with it. It's beautiful, uncirculated. They come in nice little tubes and little boxes. And they basically stole the show. And they changed the date on them every year, so the coin dealers jumped on board, and they started hyping them and putting together sets and selling them as if they were the second coming. And everyone just fell in love with the Eagle, and they just abandoned the silver dollar. The one thing you can say about the silver dollar, though, is that you can't make any more of those coins, and that as the demand for silver continues to explode, and the U.S. Mint and the Canadian Mint can't keep up with the demand, therefore they keep raising the premium. At some point, you're going to see the market go back to these older coins, whether it's the silver dollars, the dimes, or the quarters, and they're going to explode in price because once the demand increases, the supply will dry up in a matter of a week, and that's when they will just go crazy. So hang on to those coins because they're going to do well.
Okay, God bless. Thanks very much for calling, George, and we'll be back here.
Thank you. God bless you, Dr. Stan. Good night.
Good night, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Heed what Ron is saying. We're in for a wild ride. Ron, it's interesting. Since we have one family up there in Washington who really knows what's going on, but actually we've got great listeners all across America. George is back at the in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Radio Liberty, we appreciate that. But I've done certainly worked with Ron and invested with Ron. He's always treated me very, very fairly, and that we've never had any complaints about him. I will tell you, we only have two people that we have on our networks who sell gold and silver, and we've had to get rid of an awful lot of them through the years because they just, well, there was just something a little shady about them. They were charging too much or not following through with their commitments, but I feel very comfortable with Ron Brown and Melody Cederstrom here at Radio Liberty, and both of them do help us, but we need the help, of course, to keep doing what we're doing. And of course, that brings me to the point where I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We do have a few advertisers, but primarily we're listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, would love, of course, to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you know anybody would like to advertise on our radio programs, we've got slots now for probably about four more advertisers. We'd just love to have them. If they're reliable people, we will not take. I get a lot of offers to advertise, but if I feel that there's something there that is not, just not completely kosher, we had to turn down a lot of advertisers or discontinue advertisers in the past because we felt that the product they were offering was not accurate. So basically, but if you do know somebody who's moral and is coming from a Christian point of view, and we do have a great new advertiser coming on board, I'm really rather excited about it, but you'll know more about that. Well, we do have a new one that's already with us, and that's the website, The Story of Jesus. And we hope you go to our RadioLiberty.com, a homepage, and go down certainly on our homepage there, and you'll see The Story of Jesus. Go to that website. Another website there, of course, is the seed catalog, and I'm planting my own vegetable garden. They're doing a great job, and you can get any number of seeds you want, a small garden, a medium-sized garden, a large garden, and you'll be hearing about my garden as we interview Buck Keeley. That's his website. And then, of course, we have another website, a banner. It's called How Do You Know You're Saved? It connects with David Bay's website. But this is the time when people need to understand the spiritual component of what this is about. If I could recommend what you should be reading, you should read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'd hear my talks and available on a DVD or CD-ROM, a CD, on The Forbidden Secret and The Dark Secret, and there are syllabuses with both of those talks. Then you need, of course, to get Pastor Billy Crone, The Final Countdown. There's 10 DVDs there, and he ends it, each one with an invitation to have a personal relationship with our Lord. But you can get this at the Part 1, 5 DVDs, Part 2, 5 DVDs, or get the two of them together. It gives you the understanding of the prophecies that were made thousands of years ago that are coming to pass today. And then, of course, he's written a wonderful book that goes along with that, so you have the material, you can go over this, but you want to get the DVDs and watch him, you want to get the book and study it, and then help us get the word out to others. Because what is happening today has been prophesied for thousands of years. I mean, the fact that the children of Israel are certainly in the Holy Land, and you may not approve the way the government runs, and certainly I don't necessarily approve of it. But they're there for a purpose. God put them there. We do hope, of course, that you'll pray for the Israeli people, because there's going to be a war over there with God's intervention. Why, of course, the nation will not survive, and pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, on the last program of the week at this time, the views of William Grigg, formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine, and he's going to be writing the newsletter for Radio Liberty in the future, and we're really grateful for that. He can turn the newsletter out in just a few hours. It takes me weeks to come up with information, and you'll be fascinated on his latest, his first newsletter for Radio Liberty. We'll be getting that out as soon as my wife gets back here in a couple of days, and this goes into the things that are going on in Libya today, and how our government has been helping Gaddafi up until just recently, and now we're going to try to depose Gaddafi, and, well, nothing really makes sense. But anyway, William, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Dr. Stan, thank you so much. Wonderful to be with you, as always, and I wanted to touch briefly on Libya, and specifically to address a point that you just made, but I wanted to talk also in larger compass about some of the things that are being made very obvious that were implicit about the power structure that exists with respect to the presidency and war powers and other issues. These things are being turned up to the surface by virtue of what's happening in Libya. You made a comment just a second ago, Dr. Stan, to the effect that it looks like the United States is going to depose Muammar Gaddafi after propping him up. First of all, installing him back in 1969, he was brought to power when the Libyan King Idris was overthrown in a coup in 1969, and he was very young and telegenic and ambitious, energetic colonel in the Libyan military. Actually, he wasn't even a colonel at the time. He promoted himself to colonel. I don't know why he was satisfied with that rank as opposed to general once he was the absolute leader. But he was brought to power with the help of the CIA when, for whatever reason, the American wing of the Anglo-American elite decided to take over Libya. And it didn't work out the way, apparently, that was originally intended, because he became, Mr. Gaddafi, one of the most visible proponents of a type of pan-Arab nationalism, and a pretty consistent irritant. He ended up gravitating to the Soviet camp. And in that capacity, he was a useful foil in terms of some of the larger geostrategic ambitions on the part of Washington. But I'm not sure they're going to depose him now. One of the things that is becoming sort of a leitmotif in the official coverage of what's happening in Libya is that regime change is not among the specifically enumerated purposes of whatever it is that you call this war being waged by NATO and by some other elements of the UN-connected internationalist system there in northern Africa. I don't know whether or not they're going to depose him. I don't know if one of his absolutely degenerate sons is going to end up in power. But what is pretty clear is that one outcome here is almost certain to be achieved, and that is the political control by the NATO elements of the oil supplies in Libya. The very coveted light sweet crude oil in Libya is going to be controlled politically by that element. Whoever happens to be in power, under what circumstances, that's the end game here and really the objective. Whether that means that Mr. Gaddafi is going to be sent from this world in a spasm of violence or just kept around as a chastened puppet, we don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see just how long this proceeds and how many people are going to be killed needlessly in this bloody exercise in political theater taking place in northern Africa.
Political theater is an excellent name for all of this, basically. One moment while, of course, the CIA is directing airstrikes on Gaddafi's army and military armored personnel carriers and tanks. The next minute, they're not doing anything at all over there. It almost seems like that our leaders don't really know what our policy is. Down the line, we'll probably find out. William, go right ahead.
It's interesting that among the NATO airstrikes that we've heard about recently is one that killed 13 people who were associated with the rebellion against Gaddafi in Libya. And the thing that I find interesting about that story is the fact that NATO has adamantly refused to apologize for this. These are the people who were purportedly the allies of Washington. And as we talked last week, and as the newsletter will elucidate in some depth, the people who composed the rebellion over in Libya are a rather eclectic variety. They're by no means the sort of people one would associate with the concept of ordered liberty. I mean, for the most part, you're dealing with undisciplined, poorly trained, ideologically motivated people from various strata of Libyan society. And at the top, you have this sort of thin sprinkling of people who are thoroughly militant, who got their training as jihadists, fighting against the American military personnel who've been used as, for lack of a better way of describing their status, hostages in Iraq and Afghanistan, Iraq primarily. Libya contributed a disproportionate share of jihadist militants who fought against U.S. troops there in Iraq. And it's one of the things about perpetual war that is really self-defeating in the long run, is that the longer you find yourself bogged down in a war of occupation against these so-called fourth-generation opponents, there's a learning curve that takes place in which, because they win simply by staying there, they don't have to defeat you on the battlefield, they just have to endure. They eventually adapt to your tactics to the point where they become very wise and very well trained and very capable and a much more formidable adversary the longer that you're bogged down in a war of occupation. It's ultimately self-defeating. That's something that Israel learned in Lebanon before they were eventually chased out in the year 2000. They were there for 18 years, 19 years or so in a wrong-headed and very poorly managed occupation of that country. And in the course of that, they raised up literally a generation of very astute very battlefield savvy and very tactically aware fighters who are causing all kinds of problems now in that region for Israel and also for other elements and other parties in Lebanon and elsewhere. And, of course, we're seeing the same thing happening now with respect to our apparently open-ended occupation of Iraq. And some of those people who are in the finishing school for guerrillas in Iraq and Ramadi and some of the other places are now in Libya. And, ironically enough, the NATO alliance is treating them as allies when it's not bombing them. Once again, not apologizing when they do so.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan Griswold, and was simply pointing out that some of the so-called rebels there in Libya, who we are aligned with, actually part of the al-Qaeda component that had fought against America in both Iraq and Afghanistan and was trained and had killed Americans. And now they're over in Libya, and they're allied with us. We live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us who are sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy. Go right ahead. William.
Well, I don't know if we're crazy, but there's certainly an element of derangement that we see displayed in the policy here. And I don't know whether you're dealing with people who are formally aligned with a group that could be called Al-Qaeda. I'm convinced that Al-Qaeda is nothing more than a brand name, that you're dealing here with something that is more along the lines of a marketing model rather than some kind of a formal organized structure. I'm by no means the right person to be offering a definitive or an authoritative opinion on the subject, but I do think that the group, or rather the concept of Al-Qaeda, is one that has been used promiscuously and irresponsibly and for obvious reasons, you know, rather effectively in terms of tuning the public mind here in the United States and giving us a sense of constant encirclement and being under siege by forces who are shadowing apparently on the continent. They're neither. But in the case of what's going on in Libya is that you do have people who are veterans of guerrilla warfare against the United States military in Iraq who are now nominally the allies in the effort to do whatever it is that they're going to do with the Gaddafi regime. We don't know if they're going to uproot it. We don't know if Mr. Gaddafi himself is going to be dispatched into eternity. But what we do know is that people are going to be killed into the foreseeable future for reasons that remain opaque right now in northern Africa, in Libya. And I'm reminded as well of what happened in Somalia. And that's of great interest and media relevance here, not just geographically. I mean, obviously Somalia there and in East Africa is not that far from Libya, and it's part of the same geographically and strategically significant piece of real estate having to do with oil resources and sea lanes and sea routes and things of that sort. But in Somalia, you had, after the United States-led UN-ordered invasion for purportedly humanitarian reasons, December 1992, you had a jihadist element that was organized and started to flow into that country to beat back the U.S.-led occupation force. And it was primarily supervised by veterans of the Afghan War that had just ended a couple of years earlier. And that's where Mr. Bin Laden first made his appearance and made his presence felt, was in helping to organize the jihad against the American occupation of Somalia. And one of the things that happened, and anybody who's read Mark Bowden's book, Black Hawk Down, the movie that was made on that book, I don't think did justice to the actual book, but if you read the book, Black Hawk Down, it talks about the fact that the Afghan veterans, the veterans of the U.S., that is to say CIA-funded resistance to the CIA-abetted Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, had learned how to shoot down the Hind helicopter gunships that the Soviets had been using to wreak havoc against all kinds of targets in Afghanistan. And they applied that knowledge when it came time to shoot down our supposedly invincible Black Hawk helicopter gunships. They got two of them within a very brief period of time, and this, of course, pretty much ended whatever enthusiasm there was for an enduring occupation of Somalia. It had morphed very quickly from a humanitarian mission that by this time was already gratuitous. By the time the invasion force that once again was acting on a supposed mandate from the UN Security Council hit the beaches, December 1992, they did so under the Klieg lights of television cameras. That's something I find really interesting. It's not as if we were dealing with landing in Normandy here that was conducted under operational secrecy. No, the reporters were already there to see the Marines splash ashore from their amphibious vehicles. But by the time this happened, the much-discussed warlord embargo of the relief supplies was broken. People were being fed. Normalcy was being restored after Siad Barre had been kicked out. This is Siad Barre, the former ruler of Somalia, had been one of these double dippers like Saddam Hussein and like Mr. Saleh in Yemen and a number of other people. The late and unlamented regime of Hosni Mubarak is another example, or Anwar Sadat for that matter, people who had been a client of both superpowers at one time or another. That was the case with the fellow who was running Somalia, and when he left, of course, there was a civil war that broke out among the anfractuous factions there in Somalia. But by the time this humanitarian mission was saddled up and ready to go, people were no longer starving, food was reaching the target that had been interdicted by the warlord. But this was a pretext. They wanted to get these troops in there to engage in a UN-mandated exercise in nation-building. They wanted to create a central government that would be part of the UN-administered, which is to say U.S.-dominated imperial architecture of the globe. And that's when things really got nasty. And that's when you ended up with situations where people started to die, American troops started to die in significant numbers, and you had the two helicopter gunships being knocked out of the sky by the Mujahideen veterans of Afghanistan, or people trained by them there in Somalia. And then you had the Battle of Mogadishu with all the attendant horrors, including that horrible spectacle of an American military man, the dead remains of the same being dragged through the dusty streets of Mogadishu. Well, this is the same kind of thing I think that we should anticipate seeing in Libya, quite frankly. Same part of the world, similar setup where you've got a tribal-based civil war taking place in a northern African country in this instance that is oil-rich. Somalia is not oil-rich, but is strategically important in that respect. And you've got veterans of another U.S. conflict, in this case people that actually fought against American military personnel, learned the tactics and strategies that worked very well there. Whatever happens in the intermediate term in Libya, one of the things that we should look at as a very realistic and thoroughly uninviting prospect is the large probability that we're going to see, in some sense, a remake of what happened in Somalia and Mogadishu, in Libya, in Benghazi, in Tripoli, heaven only knows where. There aren't that many places in Libya, quite frankly, where you can have set-piece battles. But just today, we saw the news, in contradiction of all the solemn assurances we had heard from Mr. Obama and from Secretary Gates and others, that we were not going to see direct military intervention on the ground, no, we're not going to see boots on the ground in Libya. Just today, we saw the headlines out of the Pentagon saying, well, gee golly Ned, we're reevaluating that ironclad and unqualified guarantee, and it looks like at some point we're going to have boots on the ground, which is not surprising at all, because they've been mobilizing National Guard units and Marine units to go over to the Mediterranean and to the seas just off of Libya for the purpose of doing what? Well, they're there because eventually they'll be sent in. And if they're going to be sent in, then we can anticipate a replay, at least in some sense, of what happened in Somalia. And now there's another reason why the Somalia precedent is so important. That has to do with the supposed authorization for the military action in Libya, which, of course, is a war. It involves a large-scale, very deadly and destructive military operations against a country within recognized international borders for the purpose of bringing about political change. That's a war by any definition. It's a war of aggression because Libya has not attacked the United States or threatened to attack the United States. So you're dealing here with a war, and by any rational and honest usage of the familiar language, it would have to be called a war. That means that under the Constitution, Congress would be required to declare war. The president would have to solicit from Congress, you have to petition, ask, beg of Congress, formal permission in the form of an explicit and formal declaration of war against the government of Libya in order to justify what's going on here. Well, that didn't happen, obviously. We've not had a declaration of war since 1942, quite frankly. There was a war against some of the allies of the Axis powers in 1942 that came after the declaration of war against Japan on December 8th of 1941. And since that time, we've not seen declarations of war. And the intervening event that I find to be critical here, and that many, ironically, defenders of Mr. Obama's policy in Libya have pointed to as well, was the December 1945 enactment by Congress of the United Nations Participation Act, which created a mechanism under which the President of the United States would have the supposed authority to deploy troops anywhere in the world without explicit congressional sanction or approval, pursuant to a special agreement with the UN Security Council and the military apparatus, the general command structure within the UN Secretariat. Well, that general command structure never really was formally fleshed out, but on the basis of the UNPA, the UN Participation Act, the President of the United States, and in succeeding administrations since Harry Truman, has always assumed that these obligations, as they're styled, effectively nullify the congressional requirement, or the constitutional requirement, rather, for a congressional declaration of war. So it was that when it became necessary to send troops to Europe to man positions attached to NATO and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, I have to point out, if you look at its charter and look at the ratification documents and the official statements that were being made about ratifying U.S. involvement in the NATO organization, this is a regional political and military subsidiary of the United Nations. It has no significant or defensible purpose for existence apart from being a subsidiary of the United Nations. But when Truman sent troops over to Europe to serve under NATO, he invoked the UN Participation Act, and then in 1950, when he sent troops to Korea in order to fight under the UN flag, he referred to what he had done to NATO with the NATO deployment to justify that deployment as well. The assumption is that the president has these obligations to the UN to transcend the constitutional mechanism for declaring war, which is why Congress no longer declares war.
And there should be an outcry from Congress, but they're not. I mean, the congressmen bought and paid for. Most of them will not speak out and point out that what the president is doing is blatantly unconstitutional. He has violated his oath of office, and he's one of those domestic enemies of our Constitution. Frankly subversive, but no one will say it. Go right ahead, William.
I think that it...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is his power to have war, and basically he wanted to chain the politicians, chain the president down, and his ability to make war by the chains of the Constitution, paraphrasing that statement by Thomas Jefferson, "In matters of politics, speak not to me of covetous men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution." So basically that's what the whole idea was: do not allow the president to make war. But, of course, today the president makes war without going to Congress. He just decides to commit American troops to war, and nobody in Congress, or very few, have the courage to speak out and say, "Sir, you have violated your oath, you are subversive, you're an enemy of the people, and you should, of course, be sent to prison for what you've done, or at least tried for treason." But none dare call it treason. After all, if treason doth prosper, none dare call it treason. Go ahead.
At the very least, he should be impeached, and then there's a very strong case for conviction that would mean removing him from office. And once he's removed from office, of course, there should be criminal sanctions for conducting an exercise what has to be considered criminal homicide, mass murder, is an apt description, which is what unjust war is. Unjust war is nothing other than mass murder. Difficult to find a war that doesn't meet that description, quite frankly. The only war, of course, that is justified is when you've got your back to your home and your face to the enemy on your own soil. We've not fought a war of that sort for a long time, and chances are, if or when we end up fighting that type of war, it's going to be against the government ruling us. That's the way that wars of that sort developed throughout history. That's what happened during the American War for Independence, is that you had Americans taking up arms against a government they had rejected that insisted on acting as if it had the legitimacy to rule them, and they no longer consented to be ruled. That's what happened in that just war. And you've seen from time to time in human history since then where other people have done likewise. Well, unfortunately, that's not the kind of a war we've been fighting in Libya or in Iraq or Afghanistan. Or if you want to talk about some of the other conflicts, such as what's going on in Mexico right now, good heavens, 37,000 people have been killed in Mexico since 2006 in what has to be considered a proxy war being waged by Washington through a largely compromised and thoroughly subsidized and kennel-fed puppet regime in Mexico City in what I call the narcotics price support program, which is basically all that happens when you're enforcing prohibition, while at the same time, of course, doing everything possible to abet the growth of the problem here that feeds this huge market. There's a huge and growing market for a product, and then you've got a risk premium added in terms of efforts to interdict, however clumsily, the delivery of that product. That, of course, shoves it into the criminal underworld, and the more deeply it goes into the criminal underworld, the more violence there is. The more violence there is on the part of the criminal underworld, it's met with even more aggressive violence by the political overworld. And in Mexico, those two realms are pretty much one. You know, there's no real distinction between the private criminal syndicates and the public criminal syndicates in Mexico. And as a result, you have this horrible dialectic that has taken the form of a war that's killed, you know, the better part of 40,000 people in Mexico in 5 years. And Mexicans are understandably getting quite impatient with the fact that their country is being used for a proxy war of that kind. And now, as I point out in my current essay on my blog, you've got a number of policymakers, the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, and Michael McCaul, who's a congressman from a district in the southern part of Texas who are talking in more brazen and candid terms about the idea of an actual military effort, an overt, undisguised American military presence in the Mexican drug war. And Mr. McCall, to advance that design, has proposed a measure that would designate six narcotics syndicates in Mexico as foreign terrorist organizations. And he said that this is how we will, I'm trying to quote him or paraphrase him as closely as I can from memory, how we will display our seriousness with respect to war in our own backyard. So he's already treating this as a war. But once again, these are not the types of wars that actually involve the defense of liberty and the defense of our independence. And certainly what's going on in Libya, which is a war by the Obama administration's own admission to validate the power and prestige of the U.S. Security Council, is a war that undermines American independence and undermines the U.S. Constitution. And the paucity of resistance on Capitol Hill illustrates beyond serious dispute that right now we're living in a leader state of the sort we used to fight back when America had some interest in freedom.
Well, hang on there, William, but I certainly agree with you. I think every American should be outraged. And the fact that the outrage is not on the front page of every major newspaper in America simply is a reflection of the fact that they're all controlled by the same people. The Brotherhood of Darkness, the last thing they want is an angry American public. William, you go right ahead.
In talking about the leader state here, I think a really good illustration of this was a confrontation that occurred on MSNBC between Jeremy Scahill, who's one of the best investigative reporters in the business right now, particularly with respect to the use by the federal government of mercenaries, such as what used to be called Blackwater and so forth. And Mr. Scahill was talking about the fact that the CIA has created this group in Libya that is thoroughly disreputable and anti-American, and they're our supposed allies, and that nothing about the policy in Libya makes sense. And what Mr. Schultz said by way of rebuttal was the following. I take President Obama's word for it, the troops will not be engaged on the ground. And then Scahill made a passing remark to the effect that your President Obama had done thus and such. And Mr. Schultz, who at one point had been sort of an independent-minded, left-leaning populist personality, suddenly morphed into the Democratic equivalent of Sean Hannity, albeit one who's gifted with a better vocabulary and a little bit higher IQ. My President Obama, is he your president too, Jeremy? Is he your president too? Well, the answer is no, he's not my president. He's supposed to be my agent. He's supposed to be my subordinate, my servant. He's supposed to be part of the hired help. But unless you're somebody who's actually an employee of the executive branch of the United States, he doesn't preside over you. I mean, the president does not preside over the citizens. We don't have a commander-in-chief. But the assumption is that anybody who ascends to the Imperial Purple at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and raises his hand and purges himself by invoking the name of the deity, promising to obey a constitution, to protect a constitution, he immediately starts to violate, we're supposed to believe that there's a certain institutional awe that attaches to that person. He becomes our commander-in-chief. And that's a thread that was woven through some of the other things that Mr. Schultz has said. He's very typical of people on the left who picked up seamlessly from where people on the right left off after the last dear leader departed in January 2009. It used to be that the Bush bots were the people who would talk about how it's somehow seditious and unseemly to refer to your president as if he's the president of all of us. Well, no, he's not. He doesn't preside over me.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly our guest, of course, is William Gregg. And before we go on, William, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get your website, how they can read your blog, how they can find your PayPal button.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. And once again, I'm very grateful to you for everything that you have done in helping to make your audience aware of what I'm doing and to encourage them to help out materially to assist what I'm doing, which is a very interesting trust exercise, as I've said before. My blog is called Pro Libertate and is found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or you can go to any search engine and type in my last name, Grig, and Pro Libertate, and using some combination of my name and that phrase will give you a list of results, at the top of which should be my blog, Pro Libertate. I try to update it about 3 times a week. Most of my articles tend to be about 2,000 words in length, so I take a little bit more time in writing what I post on my blog. I use my Facebook page for more conventional blogging. For those of you who are on Facebook, you check out my Facebook page for the type of ephemera, hopefully useful and edifying ephemera, but ephemera nonetheless, that you find in more conventional blogging. I use Pro Libertate to write more in-depth and more deeply researched pieces, the sort I used to write for the New American Magazine. I also write quite frequently for LouRockwell.com. Mr. Rockwell is the head of the Ludwig von Mises Institute in Alabama, and the von Mises Institute is devoted to the preservation of genuine free market capitalism, not the corporate socialism or the cronyism or mercantilism that have been more or less the established political order here in the United States, certainly since Woodrow Wilson or FDR, but genuine free market capitalism, and also the promotion of the idea that the highest political good is individual liberty. That's not the highest moral good necessarily, although I certainly believe that as a Christian that God is sovereign over all areas of life, and that when he said that all power is given to him on heaven and in earth, that includes the power to promote what the Epistle of St. James calls is the perfect law of liberty. That's not just freedom from sin, which of course is the most important type of freedom, or the freedom from our sin nature that is promised if we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but rather it also includes political liberty, the recognition that we were not made to be servants of men. You know, we've been bought with a price. We should not be the servants of men if we're Christian believers. That's said twice in the New Testament. It's a very important message. But the Ludwig von Mises Institute promotes the idea that individual liberty is the highest political good and among the highest moral goods as well. And Lou Rockwell's website, LouRockwell.com, republishes a lot of what I publish at Pro Libertate. And they also have a very active blog, which is found on the right-hand side of the screen, the right-hand margin, that has shorter pieces. And I write usually a couple of blog items every week for LouRockwell.com as well. I should also point out that starting tomorrow, at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, Pro Libertate Radio is going to be back on the air, albeit in the form of a pre-recorded podcast. It's going to be a three-hour presentation on the Liberty News Radio Network. That's libertynewsradio.com, libertynewsradio.com. And they're going to be broadcasting once a week a three-hour radio program that will be pre-recorded. It's not going to be interactive. As I mentioned before, I had been with them as a regular radio host until 4 or 5 months ago, and as a matter of austerity. And boy, there's a lot of that going around. They eventually had to make some changes with respect to the production on their end of the arrangement. Well, what's going to be happening now is that I'm going to be recording a three-hour program, and they'll be broadcasting it and then archiving it. It'll be broadcast, don't want to say live, but the first broadcast will be from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m., Mountain Time, every Saturday night, starting tomorrow night, on Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com. Then they'll archive it there as well. And you mentioned, Dr. Stan, that at my website, Pro Libertate, at the end of every essay, those who have access to PayPal are invited, if they're interested, if they feel impelled to do so, to contribute to my work by way of my PayPal account, which is accessible by way of a button there at the bottom of every essay. And many of your listeners have been very generous in helping to keep me and my family afloat. And this is something for which, once again, I'm very grateful. And I recognize your generosity in helping to make this possible. And for that, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, we're really pleased, and we certainly think William's work is very, very important, and we personally support him as well. So you go right ahead.
I appreciate that as well. We were talking about the leader state, about the idea that the president is the commander-in-chief, which is a constitutional heresy. And once again, I want to emphasize here that I do not unduly romanticize the Constitution. I think it's a wonderful document, primarily because it's useful as a way of measuring the depravity of the people who presume to rule us. They're required by oath and required by law to be observant of and deferential to the limits on their powers contained in that document. And it troubles them not at all promiscuously to violate their oaths and to ignore their solemn asseverations of support for the Constitution and to conduct themselves as criminals. Nowhere is this more obvious than it is with respect to the war power. The Obama administration, like every previous administration going back at least to Truman, has just published a document asserting, by way of utterly specious reasoning, that the president is not restricted by the Constitution and by the Congress when it comes to waging war. Just yesterday, a memo that was published, it was published yesterday, it was actually written on April 1st, a memorandum opinion for the Attorney General that was produced by the Office of Legal Counsel in the Justice Department. Its author is a very undistinguished person by the name of Carolyn D. Crass. She's somebody who's been in sort of loose orbit of the Justice Department for a number of years now. Nothing really notable in her vita. In other words, you're dealing with somebody who's a completely undistinguished and inconsequential figure who was chosen for the inenviable or unenviable task of writing a memorandum for the purpose of contorting the law to justify a criminal policy. The last person to do that was a fellow by the name of John Yoo. He's the guy who wrote a series of memoranda in 2001-2002 in which he said basically that when the president invokes his war powers, he becomes an elected dictator, and he can do pretty much what he pleases by way of setting aside any restriction on his power to wage war abroad or to constrict liberties here at home. For instance, with respect to the Bill of Rights, the Fourth Amendment, protections against unwarranted search and seizure, the Eighth Amendment protections against cruel and unusual punishment, these things are set in abeyance once the president says that we're at war. Well, the president can't say that we're at war. That's the congressional function. And the congressional function is only to say that the U.S. government is at war. I'm of the opinion that the Congress does not have the moral, legal, or constitutional authority to say that American people are at war. It can declare that on behalf of the government. The president can't do that. But in any case, what John Yoo was saying is that the president has this supernal plenary war power that allows him to set aside any restrictions on his actions that are encoded in the Constitution. Well, this is the same claim made by Carolyn D. Crass in this document that was composed on the 1st of April, appropriately enough, April Fool's Day. It was just publicized by the Obama administration yesterday. And what it says is that the United States Constitution has a peculiar property that distinguishes it from any other document in human history, and that is that somehow it is actually enhanced by the criminal actions of public officials who brazenly violate its clearest and most explicit provisions. Now, most reasonable people would assume that actions of this kind would tarnish the document, but the administration refers to these crimes against its Constitution as an historical gloss on the document. They beautify and enhance the Constitution. When there's nothing that does the Constitution a greater favor than the conspicuous violation of the Constitution by a president, because that expands the powers of the presidency and thereby revises the Constitution through violating the Constitution. Now, in this document, you read in the very first paragraph the following. We concluded that the president had the constitutional authority to direct the use of force in Libya because he could reasonably determine that such use of force was in the national interest. We also advised that prior congressional approval was not constitutionally required to use military force in the limited operations under consideration. Now, this language about limited operations was dispensed with entirely by the time he got two or three pages of the document. What they're saying essentially is that we will claim that these are limited operations until such time as we remove the limits. But in any case, the president doesn't need permission from the Congress in order to commit the United States to war. The memo claims that Obama, in his ineffable judgment as supposedly the apex personality in the government, which of course is not the description of the presidency in the Constitution. The president presides over one branch of one of the many governments in a confederated republic, according to the scheme outlined in the Constitution. He's not in any sense the guy who runs the country. But what they said is that because of his supposed paramountcy in our system of government, he had the ability and the authority to make the judgment that the possibility of regional instability and an injury to the credibility and effectiveness of the United Nations Security Council were threats to our national security sufficient to justify a military response. Then she went on to say, this Ms. Crass, who wrote this document, that Obama could initiate war with Libya, and I quote now, as commander-in-chief and chief executive pursuant to his foreign affairs powers, even without prior specific congressional approval. And then a little bit later on in the document, we read that there is a, quote, pattern of executive conduct that has made, forgive me, they claim that a pattern of executive conduct made under claim of right extended over many decades and engaged in by presidents of both parties evidences the existence of broad constitutional power. Let me unpack that language just a little bit. What they're saying is that for decades, presidents have been committing crimes against the Constitution by ignoring what the Constitution says with respect to Congress's unique, plenary, explicit, specific, and absolutely binding authority to declare war and to commit the government of the United States to war. That's Congress's gig. That's not the president's call. But because presidents have promiscuously ignored and violated that provision, this pattern of executive conduct supposedly provides inferential evidence of a broad constitutional power that they are conjuring out of the ether, ex nihilo. Because they act that way, they have the authority. It's self-ratifying. Now, that isn't Americanism. That's Fuhrer Prinzip. That's the leader principle. The leader principle, as definitively outlined in, I think, the most authoritative text on the subject, which is the organization book of the German National Socialist Party, said that the authority of the Führer, the primary leader, the executive, the chief executive of the German Reich, was all-inclusive and not limited by checks and controls. That's the doctrine these people are preaching, albeit one that has been transliterated from the original German. Now, if you believe that presidents can somehow, by persistent and brazen violation of the law, change the law, then you have to believe that the same is true of any other group of criminals. The fact that, for instance, carjackers and armed robbers and petty thieves don't obey laws forbidding theft, that supposedly would mean that there is a material alteration in the law, that law is now to be disposed of because the fact that these thieves act with such impunity evidences the existence of a broad right on the part of thieves to steal. It's exactly the same logic. Now, they go into the details of this devious dialectic between presidential usurpation and congressional acquiescence in usurped authority to talk about the way that really for decades Congress has permitted presidents to get away with this. Presidents have always been claiming more authority than the Constitution gives them, and Congress has been willing to ratify through its acquiescence and then through the War Powers Act of the early 1970s, which I've always opposed, not because of the limitation on presidential power, but because it's seen as a ratification of presidential power in defiance of the constitutional separation of powers here. It allows a 60 to 90 day window for a president to be conducting an illegal war. That's all that the War Powers Act does, is it allows the president to give formal notice to Congress that he's going to be putting American troops in a potentially hazardous situation, And by doing so, he has a matter of weeks or months in which he can get the United States bogged down into a war that Congress will inevitably ratify after the fact. And that's something that plays a very prominent role in this document. But going on even more deeply into this memo, we come across a really fascinating, I think breathtakingly fascinating phrase. It says, the United States government has recognized that the continued existence of the United Nations as an effective international organization is a paramount United States interest. Let me read that again. Quote, the United States government has recognized that the continued existence of the United Nations as an effective international organization is a paramount United States interest. The word paramount means supreme. What this is a statement that the paramount foreign policy mission of the United States government is to maintain the viability and credibility of the United Nations. And that phrase, which was cited by the first Bush administration in 1992 to justify the U.S. invasion of Somalia to carry out a U.N. Security Council mandate, was actually found originally in a 1950 State Department bulletin entitled Authority of the President to Repel the Attack in Korea. In other words, for more than half a century, starting with Harry Truman's involvement in the Korean War, in defiance of Congress, no declaration of war, he sent these troops over to Korea, citing the precedent of sending troops to Europe to be part of the NATO apparatus and acting under the supposed authority of the UN Participation Act, where you had troops fighting under the UN flag and being buried under the UN flag as well. That's, for the last 60 years, been the operating assumption of the United States foreign policy establishment. The Constitution is dead letter. We have these obligations to the UN, and those obligations, incidentally, empower the president to do things the Constitution specifically forbids him to do. Nobody has made that point as emphatically or as bluntly as the Obama administration. And that's something, once again, that's being thrown into sharp relief by virtue of this illegal war in Libya right now that's going to be a disaster from every conceivable angle.
Well, you know, when you run for political office, while you swear that you will support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And unfortunately, President Obama, as the George Bush before him and William Clinton before him and George H.W. Bush before him, were all domestic enemies of our Constitution, involving us in unnecessary and unjust wars. It's about time somebody got angry. Well, William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, thank you once again for this opportunity and for everything you've done.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.